They all walked away, nothing to say. They just lost their dearest friend. All that he said, now he was dead. So this was the way it would end. The dreams they had dreamed were not what they'd seen. Now that he was dead and gone, the garden, the jail, the hammer, the nail, how could a night be so long? Then came the morning. Night turned into day. The stone was star, the kings from afar, the wedding, the water, the wine. Now it was done, they'd taken her son, wasted before his time. She knew it was true, she'd watched him die too. She'd heard them call him just a man. But deep in her heart, she knew from the start, somehow her son would live again.
Thank you, Ryan. Are you grateful for that morning?
Amen.
Amen. Next week, we'll celebrate the resurrection. I hope you're making a plan to be here. The choir will be presenting a cantata, and I hope that you'll come and be part of the day and enjoy it with us together. Would you please stand, if you would, this morning and turn in the scripture this morning to the book of Amos in the Old Testament. It's page 1346 in my Bible. I don't know what to tell you about yours, but the book of Amos, chapter number 4 this morning. We're going to read verse number 12, if you'll follow along with me, there in the fourth chapter. Let's look at it together. Therefore, thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. Pray with me, if you would, please. Heavenly Father, as we consider your word this morning, we thank you, dear God, for the service that we've enjoyed already today. I yield myself to the Spirit of God, and I ask, Lord, that he might speak through me today to the hearts and lives of individuals. If there's anybody within the sound of my voice who does not truly know you as Lord and Savior, that this might be the day that they would give their heart to you. Dear God, that in just simple childlike faith, they would reach out to you and invite Jesus to come into their heart, repenting of their sins and confessing him as Lord. Dear God, that you would just have your will and way in this service today. Please be with church members that need this message today. Lord, we ask all these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Thank you very much. Be seated if you would, please. We're asking the question today, are you ready? Are you ready? The reality is everybody will meet God. There are two ways to meet him. First, we can meet him now in this lifetime in true repentance and service and be prepared to meet him at the judgment seat of Christ. That is going to happen for every believer in the church age. And so, child of God, are you ready for that encounter? And then there is another way to meet the Lord, and that is at the great white throne of judgment. These are the non-believers. These are the people who trusted in other things for salvation, who would not bend the knee, who would not bow the head and the heart and confess Jesus as their Lord and Savior. But the reality is, one way or the other, we will all meet the Lord. And so as we think about this morning and we consider this, I want you to consider some things. First of all, we'll continue with a question. Why prepare to meet God? Why would we do that? Well, the first reason is, if you're keeping notes, is because life is short and it is uncertain. Life is short and it is uncertain. Hold your place there in the book of Amos, if you would, please, and go to the book of James, if you would, please, in the New Testament, if you would, please, the book of James, chapter number 4, and I want to begin to read in verse number 14. Notice what James writes about this most important subject. He says, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. You and I don't know what's coming tomorrow. All we have right now is today. We don't know what tomorrow holds. He goes on to say, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. You have seen vapors. They appear momentarily, and poof, they are gone. And so James, as he's writing about this most important subject, this idea of facing the Lord, helps us to understand that life is short. It is very, very brief. We don't have to look far for illustrations of this. Last Thursday afternoon, there was a young girl, 12 years of age, crossing Louisiana Boulevard, and she was hit by an oncoming vehicle. Friday morning, she went out into eternity. I would venture to say this morning, when she woke up Thursday morning, the thought never crossed her mind that before the day was over, within 24 hours, she would be gone. She would be in eternity. Life is just a vapor. I have 8 siblings. There's only 2 of us left. I lost the first 2 in their early 20s, both of them 23 years of age. One is the result of a car accident, gone, or here 1 minute, gone the next. The other hemorrhaged and bled to death at the age of 23, my sister. Life is short at best. And so we must prepare to meet God because life is short and it is uncertain. I'd like to think that I'll live a long time, but only God knows that. And so we must be prepared today. We must be prepared to meet the Lord. And that is exactly what Amos is saying in the scripture. He is trying to prepare the hearts of the people, the Jewish people. They are involved in all sorts of activity. They are neglecting their worship of the Lord God. They are, you know, seemingly everything in the world is important but God to them. And Amos says, prepare. Prepare, because you will meet the Lord. Well, I want you to know this morning, in this year of 2018, March the 25th, God is saying in His Word, prepare to meet thy God. We must be ready. Another reason we must prepare to meet God is because death is certain. Death is certain. Go, if you would please, with me in the scripture this morning to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 9, and I want to plug in at verse number 27. I believe the Apostle Paul is the author of the book of Hebrews, and he writes and he says, "And as it is appointed unto men once or one time to die, but after this, the judgment." Every person in this room this morning has an appointment with death. I don't know when that appointment will come. I don't know when mine is. I don't know when yours is. We've had people that have left this service on a Sunday morning, and the next day they're gone. It happens. It can happen to me. It can happen to you. Death is a certainty. God is the only one. He's numbered our days. We don't know what that number is. We hope it's a long time, but the reality is we don't know. So we have to understand that death is certain. So why prepare to meet God? First of all, because life is short and it's uncertain, but death is certain. Did you get that? Life is uncertain, but death is certain. It will happen. That brings me to the next point. Because death is certain, then it means that judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. Look at the next verse there in the book of Hebrews, if you would please. It says, "So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many." Jesus Christ was offered by God the Father to bear the sins of the world. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now notice what it says. So Christ was once offered, one time, it'll never happen again, to bear the sins of many, and unto them, look at this, unto them that look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Verse 27 said that after death, the judgment. There are 2 judgments concerning death that I will deal with this morning. The first judgment is the judgment seat of Christ. For all those in the church age that have placed their hope and faith in Jesus Christ, they will stand at the bema, they will stand at the judgment seat of Christ after the rapture, and they will be rewarded for the things that they did for the Lord. That is the judgment that we will face as believers. So after death, the judgment. Judgment for sinner and saint alike. And so we have to understand the judgments that we will be at will be the judgment seat of Christ. He promises there that unto those that look for him shall he appear the second time. He came the first time as a babe. He'll come the second time as a judge. First time as a babe. Second time as a judge. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. That means that believers in Christ, all of those who have accepted his free gift of salvation, we will stand before him without sin. We will stand before him with a perfect body one of these days. But wait a minute. What about the lost? What about those who never heard the gospel? What about those who heard the gospel and rejected it? They were too busy. They were too busy with their lives. They were too busy with their business. They were too busy with their prosperity. They were too busy with their sports. They were too busy with their activities to consider God. Yes, I might receive him someday, but not today. They played the foolish part. They said, I'll do it someday, but not today. I'll wait. What about those? What about these people? Well, there is a judgment coming for them also. It's found in the 20th chapter of the book of Revelation, if you want to turn there real quickly. Revelation chapter number 20. John is writing and he says, and I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, that is Jesus Christ, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead, this is the lost, were judged out of those things which were written in the books, plural, according to their works. This is the great white throne of judgment. These are for all the, this is the judgment of all the Christ rejectors, or maybe I should say the Christ neglectors. They just simply didn't choose Jesus. So here they are. They're standing in judgment before a holy God. And they are cast into the lake of fire. Verse 14. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Remember what it says in Hebrews? It's appointed unto man once to die. We all meet that appointment. That doesn't mean that everybody's appointed to die twice. Only the Christ rejectors. Only those who will not receive the gospel. Only those who will not receive the truth. They will be in the lake of fire. I want you to understand this morning that we must prepare to meet God because life is short and uncertain, because death is certain, because judgment is coming, and fourthly, because eternity is long. What does the Bible say about heaven? What does the Bible say about you and I who know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior? We've received him. We've invited him into our heart. We've repented of our sins. We've gotten saved. The Bible says that when Jesus comes in the rapture, the dead in Christ are going to rise first. Then those of us who are alive and remain, we're going to be caught up together with the Lord. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now let me ask you a question. Is Jesus Christ eternal? Yes, he is. The Bible says he is the Alpha, he is the Omega. He has no beginning, he has no end. And it says that wherever Jesus is, that is where we are going to be. And by the way, heaven is his abode. So we are going to abide with Christ forever, forever, and forever throughout eternity. But wait a minute. You can't have an eternal heaven without having an eternal judgment. And so that means that the lost will perish in torment in the lake of fire forever and forever and forever and forever. Let me help you to understand something. Hell was not prepared for man. It was prepared for the devil and his angels. It was prepared for him. Look also, if you would please, to Revelation chapter number 20. Notice what it says in verse number 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast, this is the Antichrist, and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented how long? Day and night, for how long? Forever and forever. So you cannot have an eternal heaven without an eternal judgment. And so that is why we need to be prepared today. We need to be prepared. Lost person, Jesus loves you. He cares about you. He gave himself so that you can be born again of the Spirit of God. My second point is this. It's a statement. By nature, we are all unprepared to meet God. I wish you'd have been in the Sunday school, the adult Sunday school class this morning. Brother Kennedy laid a wonderful foundation talking about the old man. It's not talking about chronological age, but it's talking about the old nature, the old Adamic nature. By nature, we're all unprepared to meet him. We are fallen. That's what happened in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve sinned. They fell spiritually. And because they fell spiritually, their offspring were born with a fallen nature. We have to understand today that spiritual things and carnal things, or things of the world or things of the flesh, are at enmity with one another. They cannot come together. They are at enmity. They are like two magnets that you try to put together with the poles that are in the same direction, and they keep resisting. Why is that? Because they're opposing. So we have to understand that we cannot receive spiritual enlightenment without being born again of the Spirit of God. We must be born again. That is what Jesus said to Nicodemus. When Nicodemus came to him and wanted to know what he needed to do in order to go to heaven, this was Jesus' answer. This is what he says. Ye must be born again. Jesus didn't say, I highly suggest. He didn't say it would be a wonderful thing. Jesus said, ye must be born again. Well, how does that happen? It happens supernaturally. We have that old Adamic nature. By nature, we are unprepared to meet God because we are fallen. For one reason, our hearts are wrong. Our hearts are wrong. Look, if you would please, with me to the Gospel of Luke for just a moment in the New Testament. The Gospel of Luke, we'll look to chapter number 6 and verse number 45. Notice what Luke records for us, the words of Christ. Notice what Jesus writes, or what Luke records about what Jesus says. A good man, out of good treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is evil, for of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. So before we speak evil, we've already conjured it up in our heart and our mind. And we just simply release it. But it started in our heart. And our hearts are even evil or wicked continually. That is what the Bible teaches. Our hearts are wrong because of our Adamic nature. Not only that, our lives are wrong. The way that we live our lives. The way that we live our lives on a day-to-day basis. Christianity is not born out in the church. Christianity is born out on the outside of those doors. day by day as we walk for the Lord. That is where Christianity counts. Because the reality is, I don't need to know it. The world does. And Jesus told us to go into all the world, to take the gospel. And so our hearts must be right. Our lives must be right. And not only that, our records must be right. You say, what record are you talking about? The record I'm talking about is that God is recording every idle word. God is recording every action. God is recording everything that we do. And we have to understand that. And in our natural state, without Jesus Christ, we will face that record. That's what the great white throne of judgment is all about. Go back, if you would please, to the book of Revelation once again. There in chapter number 20. Notice what John records for us, what the scripture says. It says, verse number 12, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books," plural, "the books," not just a book, but "the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life." And he goes on to say, "And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books," plural, "according to their works." So the natural man without Jesus Christ, the natural man, his heart is wrong because he still has the old Adamic nature. His life is wrong because he's lost, and his record is wrong because all of his deeds that he has done in the flesh have been recorded. And now at the great white throne of judgment, he must stand before a holy God and give an account of the things that he has done. Now understand, today at the Bema, the Christian is rewarded for good works. At the great white throne of judgment, the lost person is condemned because of their works. That is what the scripture says. So we must understand this morning, we must prepare to meet God because our nature is wrong. Our hearts are wrong, our lives are wrong, and our records are wrong. So then how do we prepare to meet God? That is the next question. How do we prepare then to meet God? The answer is by repentance. By repentance. There is no substitute for repentance. Let me test your Bible knowledge for just a moment. Are you familiar with the story of the woman at the well? Are you familiar with her lifestyle? Were you aware that she'd been married several times? Were you aware that on the day that she came to draw water from the well, she came in the heat of the day? Why did she do that? Because no other woman wanted to be there with her, because they knew what she was. She was an adulterer. Jesus knew she was an adulterer. But Jesus, who loves sinners, came to the well and he asked for a drink from this woman. And she says to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me? I'm a Samaritan." And I'm sure she wanted to say more than that, but Jesus already knew all about her. And he gave her living water that day. He gave her water that she would never thirst for again. But he told her when she went away, "Sin no more." What was she saying? What was Jesus saying to that woman? Jesus was saying, leave that adulterous lifestyle. Get totally away from that. That, my friend, is repentance. We are to turn from our wickedness. One day we're headed on our path to hell. We are rejecting everything that is godly. And we come to the point and place in our life that we know, we understand that we need Jesus Christ. We want Him more than anything else. So we repent. We have a change of mind. And we turn. We do a 180-degree turn. And now we're no longer following the carnal life, but we're walking in the newness of life, because now we are a brand new creation in Jesus Christ. Now we are no longer hell-bound. Now we are on our way to heaven. Isn't that a wonderful thought? Isn't that a wonderful plan that God has? You have to understand today, God loves you. God cares about you. God wants to save you. And God wants you to go to heaven. But He loves you too much to leave you the way He found you. So He requires that you repent. Repent. Turn away from your sin. Turn toward Jesus Christ. Secondly, we prepare to meet Him by faith and confession. By faith and confession. Go with me, if you would please, in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 2, if you would please, that great book that Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus. Notice what he says here in verse number 8 of chapter number 2. Paul writes, "For by grace are you saved through faith." For by grace are you saved through faith. He goes on to say there, "And not of yourselves, it," speaking of grace, "is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." So we must repent. We must, by faith, invite Jesus Christ into our heart. Invite Him to forgive us of our sins, to enter us through the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes and abides within us, and now He is our helper. He is the one who helps us to live the Christian life, because the reality is we can't do it on our own. The reality is, if we're going to try to fight the devil, we can't do it on our own. The reality is, if we're going to try to leave that temptation, that addiction that had such a hold on us before our conversion, we're not going to be able to do that on our own. We're going to need the help of the Holy Spirit. So we must invite Jesus to come in by faith. It is by faith that He comes. It is a gift of God through God's grace, unmerited favor. I don't deserve salvation this morning, and neither do you. God has the goods on us. He knows every sin that we've ever committed, and by right we ought to die and spend eternity in hell forever and forever and forever and forever. But a loving God says, "I want to be gracious to my people. I want to provide a way so that they can be saved." And so He sends His only begotten Son into the world to live a perfect life, to become man, to become flesh, to live amongst us, to show us how it is to be done. To die on the cross in our place so that we can have forgiveness of sins. And He requires that we, by simple childlike faith, look to Him and ask Him for salvation. So, we turn from our sin, we repent, and by faith and confession in the Lord Jesus Christ, we invite Him into our heart. You say, where does the confession come? Go, if you would please, back up to the book of Romans, if you would please. Chapter number 10, and I want to begin to read in verse number 9. Notice what the Scripture says in verse 9. Paul writes that if thou, who is that? That is everyone. That if thou shalt do what? Confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. So we must repent. We must, by faith, invite Jesus into our heart. And we must confess Him with our mouth. Notice what it says there in verse number 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Next week we will celebrate Resurrection Sunday. Amen. What a glorious thought. And we'll have a crowd, hopefully. Hopefully we'll have a crowd. That's if you invite folks. But you know what? Today is also Resurrection Sunday. Because every Sunday is a reminder that Jesus rose from the dead on the first day of the week. We need to, by faith, confess him. Notice what it says. For with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. In other words, God doesn't have one way for the American and another way for the Japanese and a different way for the Chinese and a different way for the South American and a different way for the European and a different way for the Australian and a different way for the those of other outlying areas. No, there is only one way. There's only one name given among men whereby men must be saved. That name is Jesus Christ and him alone. And so there is one way to be saved, and that is through faith and confession of the Lord Jesus Christ. God requires that we, by faith, invite him into our heart, and then that we confess him openly before men. You say, I don't want to come before men and admit that I'm a sinner. Let me help you to understand something. We already know it. Been there, done that. We're all sinners. God just wants you to agree with him. That's all he wants. He wants you to confess him before men. And that, by the way, is the reason he wants us to stand in the baptistry and be scripturally baptized. Because we make a statement of faith, I am trusting Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and I proclaim him as my Lord and Savior. That's what baptism is all about. Baptism is not about salvation. It's about identity. It's about coming clean with God. It's about having a clear conscience before God and standing before men and boldly declaring, I am a child of God. I love him, and I want to live for him. Verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So salvation involves repentance. It involves faith. It involves confession. And that is what we need to do. And now I want to deal with the rest of us. Those of us who know Jesus as Lord and Savior. How do we prepare to meet the Lord God? By continually, not sporadically, not spasmodically, but by continually serving God. Service after conversion is necessary to consistent Christian living. Did you hear what I said? I didn't say that service was necessary for your salvation. I said, child of God, serving God is necessary to a consistent Christian life. It is through consistent Christian living, by serving him, by living for him, by following the teachings of the Word of God, learning his doctrine, learning what is important to Almighty God. If it's important to him, it ought to be important to me. It ought to be important to you. But how many of us know the doctrines of the Scripture? How many of us have taken the time when the opportunity has availed itself to come to God's house and to learn the doctrines of God's book? We must understand his word. We must understand what he wants us to do. He wants us to live for him. He wants us to serve him. That doesn't look the same for every person, for every child of God. For one, it might mean preaching God's word. For another, it might mean full-time service. For another, it might mean serving as a missionary somewhere on a foreign field. But that's not all there is to serving God. There's teaching Sunday school classes. There's breaking the Word of God down on a level that children can understand it. There are all kinds of opportunities in God's house to serve him, to live for him. And it is that consistent Christian living that will keep us in the right attitude, in the right frame of mind. And sometimes we want to say, I'm retired. Well, I just wonder, how we would feel when we come to the throne of grace and we have a petition before a holy God and he was saying, would answer, I'm sorry, I'm retired. I'm busy. I'm too busy. I don't have the time. I've got too much to do. How would we like a child of God if God treated us the way that many times we treat him? Today, we need to make a decision. Lost person, you need to choose Christ. You need to repent of your sin, walk away from it. You need to, by faith, look to Jesus Christ, invite him into your heart, and confess him as Lord and Savior. Get in the baptistry and be scripturally baptized. And it doesn't matter what grandma thinks. It doesn't matter what grandpa thinks. It doesn't matter what mom and dad thinks. It is not mom and dad that you will face in the judgment. It is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That is who you will face. Come to grips with that reality today. It's not someone else. It's Jesus himself, the great judge. But child of God, you'll also face him in judgment at the Bema. Don't you want some reward when you get to heaven? Don't you want some crowns? Don't you want something that you can put at the feet of Jesus? Don't you want something to present to our Lord? Oh, God, help us. Let's get rid of this attitude of I'm too busy. Let's get rid of this attitude, well, I did it for 50 years, and I'm just going to hang it up. No. However old we get, we need to be serving our Lord because he's given us the gift of life. He's given us one more day to serve him. He's given us one more day to preach the gospel. He's given us one more day to teach his Sunday school class. He's given us one more opportunity to witness to a neighbor, to a friend, to a coworker. He has given us opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. Are we availing ourselves to that opportunity? God help us today. Child of God, we need to be ready. Judgment day is coming. Father, help us today. To the lost, I invite them to come to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, to repent of their sins, and by simple childlike faith, just inviting your Son Jesus into their heart, and that they might boldly confess that he is the Christ, the Son of God. That they would make a public profession of their faith in the baptistry. And Lord, that they would get scripturally baptized and live for you. For those of us, Lord, who know you as Lord and Savior, we're on our way to heaven. One of these days we're going to stand at the Bema. One of these days we're going to stand and give an account. God, help us to give a good account. God, help us to be faithful. Help us to hear the words, enter thou into the reward, thou good and faithful servant. Oh, how we need to hear those words. Lord, help us to serve. Help us to do the things that are honoring and glorifying to you. We ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake.